Our gospel reading this morning comes from the third chapter in the book of Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." And soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Have you ever made what you hoped would be an exceptionally healthy shake? You know, when you open up the refrigerator and start throwing every fruit and vegetable you can find into a blender, hit puree, and then hope for the best. Well, that's how this sermon feels to me. At a recent worship and music ministry team meeting, we brainstormed so many interesting ideas on how to approach the season of Advent this year that I've just dumped them all into my brain, and I'm hoping for the best. And something particularly uncharacteristic was to intentionally rearrange the order of the assigned gospel readings for the four Sundays in Advent. Since we decided to have an overall focus on the theme of wilderness, we decided to start with the John the Baptist passages, which actually combined the readings traditionally for the second and third Sundays in Advent. And to go along with the theme, it was decided that a different poem would be read each week when lighting the Advent wreath, in place of the traditional candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. And Cynthia Fox came up with the creative ideas to decorate the sanctuary in a way that can help us experience the theme of the wilderness. And I'm sure you were wondering what was going on when you entered the sanctuary this morning. We are going on a journey. A journey through the wilderness of Advent. Now, when we think of a liturgical season that focuses on the theme of wilderness, we naturally think of the season of Lent. After all, Lent usually begins with the story of Jesus, following his baptism by John the Baptist, being led into the wilderness by the Spirit, where he is tempted by Satan for 40 days. But John the Baptist makes another appearance during the liturgical season of Advent each year. And this time, the focus is on the message that he is preparing the way for the Messiah. Seeing Advent as a time of active preparation is an important and central focus of this season. Hence this morning's meaningful poem, Prepare. Historically, however, there is a deeper connection between Lent and Advent. And it's something I want to invite all of us to consider this year. Now, I realize that Lent, the 40-day period set aside to prepare us for Easter, isn't something a lot of us strictly observe. But if you think one 40-day period of prayer, fasting, and helping others in need is a sacrifice, what if we did that 3 times a year? It has been discovered that many ancient Celtic monasteries in Ireland and Scotland had a custom of 3 Lents during the year. In addition to the 40 days prior to Easter, the 40 days before Christmas, and the 40 days before Transfiguration Sunday in August, they were also embraced as times for fasting and self-denial. What this means is that over the course of the year, about 1/3 of the time, 120 days, would be devoted to such intentional simplicity and spiritual practices. Now, we know this didn't catch on in the wider church because the official season of Advent is shorter than 40 days. But there are those who still follow the Celtic tradition of starting Advent in the middle of November. And that includes some of those in our Celtic circle here at this church. Now, granted, we are not monks and nuns. But saying that, perhaps we could all benefit from spending a bit more time in prayer as we prepare for Christmas this year. Perhaps we can be more intentional about helping those in need. Perhaps we could live a bit more simply. Now, we're not talking about a period of excessive austerity, but rather a joyful time of letting go and immersing ourselves in God's sacred presence. And here's 4 suggestions that I've shared with you in the past that you might want to make part of your Advent journey this year. Do less. Breathe more. Adjust your expectations. And focus on people, not stuff. Such spiritual practices, however, may indeed put us on a path that feels like wandering in the wilderness. After all, John the Baptist's message is not an easy one for us to hear. His crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, to quote the Old Testament prophet, is with a message that begins by calling the crowds who came to see him a bunch of snakes. And his message is filled with the wrath of God that will come unless they, quote, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Needless to say, the fearful and probably traumatized crowd rightfully asks, what then should we do? Well, John the Baptist's answer is fascinating, and one that has just as much merit today as it did back in the Judean wilderness. The answer? An uncompromising demand to live a life of fairness, generosity, unselfishness, and justice. John the Baptist tells the crowds, whoever has 2 coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. To the tax collectors, John warns, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. And to the soldiers, he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. Notice that in John's answer, repentance has less to do with how fervently we pray or how faithfully we attend worship, but instead it has everything to do with how we handle riches, execute public service, and exercise good stewardship. His message of repentance concerns acts of social justice more than religious ceremony or even belief. Repentance for John is not about being really, really, really sorry for the bad things we have done or the good things we have left undone. Rather, repentance involves the practical acts of actually turning away from our ways of greed, indulgence, egoism, hypocrisy, selfishness, and the like. This is how we are to prepare the way for the coming realm and kingdom of God, part of which is already with us. And concerning John's practical exhortation to bear fruit, biblical commentator Miriam Kamel summarizes it this simple way. God expects people to behave, not merely believe. Our repentance, therefore, accomplishes nothing less than improving the personal, communal, social, and political conditions of this world. So as we journey through Advent this year, a journey through the wilderness, let us commit ourselves to a deep level of self-reflection as individuals and as a community of faith so that we can be led to repentance. In other words, we're called to examine those ways of being and doing in ourselves that do not reflect the way of life that we believe God is calling us to lead. This is a call to take stock of the ways we hide behind tradition, national or church identity, wealth, ethnicity, privilege, or position in life. John the Baptist, crying out from the wilderness, calls us to bear good fruit as witness of our repentance. And John's practical answer to what shall we do is this. We are to care for the needy, to share our wealth, whether food or clothing, with those less fortunate. We are to be fair and honest in all of our dealings with others, and especially in our professional work and relationships. And we are to use our station in life not to lord it over others, but to live within our means and do what is right and just. We must, according to John the Baptist, live the faith that we claim to possess. Authentic Christian living always has that challenge. So let's put a little Lent in our Advent this year, our journey through the wilderness in preparation of the coming of Christ's presence among us and within us. Amen.